Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, February the 24th, marking the third anniversary of the war in Ukraine, the Apostolic Nuncio to the country asks for prayers and laments a general desensitization to the tragedy. Fighting continues in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where defenseless civilians pay the highest price. But first, Pope Francis continues his treatment for pneumonia in Rome's Gemelli Hospital. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. According to the update provided by the Holy See Press Office on Monday morning regarding Pope Francis's health, he had a good 10th night in the hospital where he is being treated for double pneumonia. On Sunday evening, the Holy See Press Office said his condition remains critical, though he has not experienced any respiratory crises since Saturday morning. Pope Francis had received blood transfusions to bring up his hemoglobin levels. He's been hospitalised since Friday the 14th. Meanwhile, amid an overwhelming amount of prayers and well wishes coming in for Pope Francis and his recovery over the last few days, the Vatican and the Gemelli Hospital are dedicating various moments throughout the day to pray for his health. Starting today, Monday, people all around the world can join in physically or spiritually in expressing their solidarity with the Pope during his stay in the hospital. Kelsey Gussey tells us more.
Last week, the Cardinal Vicar of Rome released a statement expressing the Italian Bishops Conference's solidarity with Pope Francis. Recognizing how important communal prayer is, the bishops encouraged everyone as one large family to ask the Lord to grant the Pope the strength needed to face this delicate moment. Following this invitation to communal prayer, the community of the Gemelli University Hospital and the Roman branch of the Catholic University of the Sacred Heart wish to express even stronger support and solidarity with His Holiness Pope Francis during this time of trial and suffering through various moments of prayer. Starting today, February 24th, and for the entirety of Pope Francis' stay in the Gemelli Hospital, there will be an hour of adoration every day, from noon until 1 p.m. at the St. John Paul II Chapel in the hospital, followed by Mass. During the Mass and adoration, special prayers will be offered for Pope Francis. And the prayers dedicated to his health do not end there. At 4:30 p.m., the rosary will be recited in front of the statue of St. John Paul II in the square outside of the hospital. And Mass will also follow at 5 p.m. in the hospital hall. The Vatican has also announced a prayer initiative for the Holy Father. Starting on the evening of February 24th, the cardinals residing in Rome, along with all collaborators of the Roman Curia and the Diocese of Rome, will gather in St. Peter's Square at 9 p.m. to recite the Holy Rosary for the Pope's health. The Holy See Press Office stated that Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin will lead the first rosary. There has been a tremendous outpouring of prayer for Pope Francis' recovery from around the world. And in the Holy Father's Angelus Address, which he chose to have published and distributed on Sunday, he thanked everyone for their prayers for him. I'm Kelsey Gussey.
On this third anniversary of the full-scale war in Ukraine, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Visvaldas Kubolkas, has offered reflections, which include an appeal for prayer. The nuncio laments that many have become desensitized to the ongoing tragedy, despite the fact, he told Vatican Radio, that the number of casualties is not decreasing. In fact, the deaths on the front lines are rising. They are more in 2023 than in the first year of the war. Last year, he said, there were more than in 2023. The number of civilian deaths, as the UN reports confirm, has also increased and continues to grow. In the midst of this dramatic climate, the nuncio underscores that only Christ has the power to bring hope against all hope. Deborah Castellano-Lubov reports.
Only the Lord God Almighty can bring hope against all hope. The Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Visvaldas Kubolkas, made this observation to Vatican media on the 24th of February, 2025. The third anniversary of the war in Ukraine since the full-scale Russian invasion in 2022. He began by stressing how, especially this Jubilee year, prayer is the precious gift of the Ukrainian people, which they must treasure and actively pursue. He gave the example of a civilian, no way connected to military actions, who was imprisoned in Russia for almost 3 years. This, he said, is the condition of thousands of people. This, he noted, underscores the importance of prayer, as there are truly situations that, from a human perspective, have no way out. At the end of this third year of full-scale war, he looked back at the past year and highlighted events. The first was the liberation of two priests on June 28th of last year. He noted it was uplifting to witness their faith. Another very significant and joyful moment he recalled was the visit of Cardinal Pietro Parolin to Ukraine last July. Another particularly joyful moment he recalled was a few weeks ago on the 1st of February, when there was a group of some 200 young Ukrainian Catholics who had the online meeting via video link with the Holy Father. He also lamented that for many international media outlets, especially secular ones, the war in Ukraine has become, at least in some parts, somewhat routine. But when you are here, he lamented, you understand that the number of casualties is not decreasing. This war, the nuncio said, challenges all of humanity. On many fronts, he noted, action is needed to push governments and international organizations to restore peace. And finally, he added, we all must grow spiritually. Bear witness to hope. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Amid the ongoing deadly offensive of the Rwanda-backed M23 rebel group in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, that's forcing hundreds of thousands to flee their homes, atrocities continue to be perpetrated, also by other armed groups vying for control of the mineral-rich region. One of the most recent and horrific incidents occurred in a village near Lubero in North Kivu, where over 70 bodies were discovered recently inside a Protestant church, as confirmed by the International Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need and Fides Catholic News Agency. Lisa Zengarini reports.
According to a local source whom ACN decided not to identify for fear of reprisals, the attack was carried out by the Allied Democratic Forces, or ADF, an Islamic State-affiliated group that has been operating in both Uganda and the DRC for over a decade. The victims, who included women, children and elderly people, were reportedly taken hostage by the Islamist group before being brutally killed. Some had been bound while others were beheaded, suggesting a massacre intended to instill fear and exert control over the local population. The ADF is notorious for its violent tactics, which often include taking hostages and forcing them to travel with them either as a reinforcement for their group or as forced labour for their war effort. According to the source, it is very likely that the 70 victims were killed because they were unable to keep up with the forced march. The massacre comes at a critical moment for Eastern DRC, given the worsening of the humanitarian situation in the provinces of North Kivu and South Kivu, where the M23 rebels continue their lightning offensive against the Congolese armed forces and their allies. Besides the concern over the activities of the ADF, therefore, the ACN's local source also expressed fear that over the next few days the Rwanda-backed group will take over Butembo, North Kivu's second-largest city, as it did with Goma, the provincial capital, and Bukavu, capital of South Kivu, over a week ago. The ongoing conflict has created an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty, the source said, adding that the presence of internal collaborators aiding these terrorist groups only exacerbates the insecurity. The source concluded with a call for prayers. Prayer is what keeps our hope alive, the source said. I am Lisa Zengarini.
German voters went to the polls on Sunday in parliamentary elections that saw the hard-right Alternative for Germany, or AfD, come in second place. The Christian Democratic Union and its Bavarian sister party came first with 28%. Several German Catholic bishops and Protestant leaders have expressed their hopes for a swift and responsible formation of government, as Devon Watkins reports.
Following Sunday's federal elections, Bishop Georg Batzing, chairman of the German Bishops' Conference, expressed the bishops' hopes for strengthening of the democratic center. Speaking to Vatican Radio, Bishop Batzing noted that voter turnout saw a sharp rise, exceeding 80% of eligible voters. The significant increase in voter turnout is a good sign for our country, showing that democracy is being taken seriously, he said. Bishop Batsing said parties must listen to voters, seek common ground, and strive for constructive solutions. He also urged the future chancellor, presumably Friedrich Merz, if he succeeds in forming a government, to strengthen Germany's European focus in the face, quote, of extremist forces. Preliminary results published on Monday morning showed the Christian Democratic Union and the Christian Social Union of Bavaria securing 28.6% of the vote, followed by the Alternative for Germany or AfD party with nearly 21%. The Social Democratic Party, or SPD, came in third with 16%, followed by the Greens and the Left Party. Cardinal Rainer Waelke, the Archbishop of Cologne, said he hopes the country will soon have a new federal government. He urged politicians to approach the problems of our time with prudence and wisdom, effectively countering all tendencies toward polarization. Separately, the Archbishop of Paderborn described the increase in votes for the AfD as a serious warning sign for Germany's democracy. He emphasized that the results should not be dismissed as a mere statistical trend, noting that it requires decisive action from politics, civil society, and every German. The Central Committee for German Catholics, a lay organization, congratulated CDU leader Friedrich Merz on his election victory. In times of alarming societal fragmentation, they wrote, Germany now needs a chancellor who unites, who thinks in European terms, and who gives hope to a diverse country facing major challenges. I'm Devin Watkins.
4.5 years from the explosion in the port of Beirut that killed over 260 people and injured more than 7,000, the families of the victims are still demanding justice and truth. As a sign of the church's closeness, Cardinal Michael Czerny visited the site of the explosion on the final day of his visit to the Middle Eastern country last week. There he stood alongside some of the families who had lost loved ones. Among them was Mireille, who lost her son in the explosion. Elias Kouri was only 15 when he was killed. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Salvatore Cernunzio, she described the pain of still not having answers.
We wanted justice to be served, and we did everything we can. But because the case was stopped here, so we went and appealed to the member states of the Human Rights Council so that we have an international investigation, so that at least we know the truth, because this is a human rights crime. We didn't get any investigation in this regard. We got just a statement. But now the investigation has resumed, and now hopefully it will continue with the new government and the new president.
Are you happy for this moment with Cardinal Czerny?
It means the world to us. It means a lot. And His Excellency also was very supportive to us. And he's so kind and so understanding. And his prayers means a lot to us. And the visit of the Cardinal means the world to us. The support of the Church means the world to us. And the Pope as well, of course.
And that was Mireille Kouri, mother of a young boy, Elias, who was killed in the explosion at the port of Beirut, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Salvatore Cernunzio. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. You can also follow our stories on vaticannews.va, on Facebook, X and Instagram. My thanks go to Alberto Giovannetti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Linda Bordoni. Bye-bye.